Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, July the 12th. Another week coming to an end, but there just doesn't seem to be an easy week in the presidency of Donald Trump. And what I mean by that is this is always something going on. You know, it used to be that Friday nights and Saturdays and Sundays were kind of slow. Not with President Trump. I mean, there's always something going on, and we'll get into a little bit of that today. These raids are apparently going to begin. The ICE raids are going to begin this weekend, and that's a good thing. I mean, that's a good thing. What we're talking about here is sending – these are people who've had due process. They've had their cases rejected by a judge, and they get a letter saying, hey, you have to leave the country, and they're not obeying those letters. Well, you can't do that in the United States. If I get a letter from a judge saying you have to do this or you have to do that, at the very least, I have to respect the letter. If I disagree with the letter, there may be an opportunity to appeal. I don't know all the rules. But you can't just throw the letter away and expect that nothing's going to happen to you, particularly when it comes to immigration. So these raids, I mean, they're being presented by some people as if, you know, they're going to be rounding up 10 million people and dragging people, dragging babies from their mothers or whatever. That's not what's going to happen. That's not what's going to happen. We're going here after people who are not respecting court orders and who, as I said, they've gone through the due process. They didn't get what they wanted. Well, that's just the way it goes. You have to leave the country and obey the laws of the United States. By the way, these things used to happen when Obama was president. I mean, these things did not begin with Trump. They used to happen when Obama was president too. But for some reason, we never talked about it when Obama was president. But they were going on, just like they were family separated, just like they were people being held down in South Texas. All of that was happening when Obama was president, but nobody was calling them concentration camps back then. Anyway, the big story, I suppose, today is the resignation of Secretary Acosta. And he's sort of the first victim, if you will, of the Epstein scandal. Now, Mr. Acosta, we need to make this very clear. He had nothing to do with Epstein or Epstein, whatever, however you pronounce that name. He had nothing to do with Mr. Epstein or the children, the young women or anything like that. He was simply – he sort of paid for the fact that when he was the federal prosecutor in Florida, that it looks like maybe the sentence for Mr. Epstein was a bit lenient, and I think some people are angry about that. I can understand that. Honestly, I can understand that. I also, frankly, understand this resignation – from the standpoint of the Trump administration, because what you're doing in a sense is you're cutting your losses. You're saying, okay, having this guy Acosta around means that we're just going to be getting question after question after question about Epstein and how that deal was done. Let's move on. Let's get rid of this guy. And now I think comes a very serious part. Now comes a very serious part because I believe, as Nancy Pelosi's daughter said the other day, that some of our favorites are going to be involved in this thing. I really believe that there are some big names that are going to come out of this. And I don't want to speculate because I don't think that's fair. That's not responsible. But like you, and this is not speculation, this has been reported by several media sources. Apparently President Clinton was on that flight, what they used to call the Lolita Express. Now, what he was doing in those flights, again, we don't know. We'll find out probably eventually. But you have to wonder, and this is something that this kind of goes back to the Monica Lewinsky thing. You're a former president of the United States. Why would you be flying in a plane, with a guy who's got a reputation of dealing with underage girls? I mean, why would you be doing that? Why wouldn't you say, no, I'm not going to do that, Jeff. Don't count me in. I'm not going to get involved with this. I'm an ex-president of the United States, And anything that, you know, anywhere I go, everywhere I go, people are going to be watching and talking about it. I don't know. I don't know. But there is this recklessness about Bill Clinton. It's what got him in trouble with Monica Lewinsky, and it's what got him in trouble with many other things in his life. He's got this reckless nature that he will do things that, frankly, don't make a lot of sense. And you just have to sit there and wonder, why would a former president of the United States – I can understand the first time. I can understand the first time. He gets invited. He doesn't know. And then he finds out what's going on. He says, hey, I'm not doing this anymore. You know, look at President Trump. President Trump, I think issued a statement back in whenever it was that he didn't want this guy Epstein coming to his hotels. I mean, obviously everybody knew what this guy was doing. And yet, you know, President Clinton kept flying that plane. It's just amazing to me how reckless this man really is. You know, I have a post over at the American Thinker on Friday morning. And it's about Cuban Americans in the United States who are finally, because of President Trump, getting an opportunity to go back and sue the Cuban government over many of the expropriations that were made at the beginning of the Castro regime. Back in the early 60s, Castro expropriated a lot of private property. Now, some of it was Cuban, some of it was American. And over the years, some of these Cubans, some of the Americans, had been suing the Cuban government over, you know, the expropriation of these properties and the fact that there was no compensation paid to them. Well, because of President Trump, they can now sue more effectively. And a bunch of Cuban Americans are suing the Cuban government over a private bank that existed in Cuba that was expropriated by the Cuban government. And they're actually suing a French bank who was using the assets and the resources of that Cuban bank without ever compensating the Cuban family. And I think this is a wonderful thing. Look, I have nothing monetarily to gain from these lawsuits. So I'm just a bystander. I have absolutely nothing to gain money-wise from these lawsuits. My family didn't have any of these investments. We didn't have property like that expropriated from us. We did lose the home, but that's it. That's it. We didn't have companies or bank branches or whatever that were expropriated, like was the case of this bank. But, you know, I'm a bystander. I'm looking at all of this and I'm saying to myself, I need to support this. I need to support this because what happened in Cuba in the early 60s, in the 60s in general, when properties were expropriated and the Cuban government acted in such an arbitrary fashion by taking these properties and expropriating these properties in the name of the revolution, that was such a terrible injustice to the many Cuban families like this, the people who own that bank. So I'm applauding these lawsuits. I hope they work out. I hope that we get more of them. And I really hope that as time goes by, we make it very clear to the Cuban government that if Cuba wants to come back as a serious nation or into the international economy, they're going to have to deal with their past and they're going to have to deal with all these expropriations and at least the recognition that they took property from people. And again, I repeat, a terrible injustice because none of these people who had those properties, who had those banks, were doing anything wrong in Cuba. On the contrary, they created jobs. They created prosperity. They did a lot for the island. They did a lot for the island, and the Cuban government expropriated all of it. And, well, we know the rest of the story. It actually, the expropriations, by the way, were terrible for the Cuban economy, because they took away many of the productive things that were happening in Cuba. So not only was it an injustice, but it was also really bad for the Cuban economy. So that's one of the reasons that I hope that these lawsuits go through. We'll be right back. Thank you. is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. I'm sure all of you have been following this battle between Speaker Pelosi and the young woman from the Bronx, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez. This is no longer a difference of opinion. I think there is a civil war going on inside the Democrat Party. You have this little group of Democrat freshmen, I guess, most of them women, who are as radical and as far to the left as they can get, and they're putting the Democrat majority in jeopardy. That's what they're doing, and that's why Nancy Pelosi is panicking about this, because she knows that these people could end up costing the Democrats the House and costing her the speakership. The same thing, by the way, happened to her the last time she was a speaker. Remember, she became a speaker in after the 2006 Democrat takeover of the House, and she lost it 4 years later, again, because the party became too radical. They just became way too radical, and they lost the House. I think Nancy Pelosi knows that the same thing's going to happen now, and that's why she is at war with many of these Democrats, or these freshman Democrat women. Another thing going on too is this whole battle over the Border Patrol and the accusations against the Border Patrol, the officers of the Border Patrol. Look, I'm sick and tired of this. If there's something wrong, if there was a case where apparently some people put something on Facebook or something like that, fine, deal with it. You know, discipline the people involved. But I think the Border Patrol in general is doing an amazing job on the border. They're dealing with a very difficult situation, and I'm really sick and tired of politicians like this young woman, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, and some of her left-wing friends, in a sense, taking cheap shots at the Border Patrol. The Border Patrol is doing an amazing job on the border. Again, dealing with a very difficult situation, a very complicated situation, and it doesn't make any sense to attack them like this, concentration camps and things like that. Come on, give me a break. Well, on this day in 2008, Tony Snow passed away. Some of you remember Tony, of course. He started out as a reporter, as a columnist for the Detroit News. And then he went to work for the first President Bush. I think he was a speechwriter for the first President Bush. Then after that, he became the first host of Fox News Sunday. In fact, he did that, I think, for about 10 or 12 years. And then he became the press secretary for President George W. Bush. Sorry about that. I had to take a little break there. Then he became the press secretary for President George W. Bush. And then he died shortly after that in 2008. But he was really an amazing man, a wonderful person, and he died on this day in 2008. And I've always had, I've always had good memories of him. I thought he was a classic press secretary. And when he was hosting Fox News Sunday, I thought he did a fantastic job doing that as well. Well, a little baseball note. Back on this day in 1979, that would make it 40 years ago today, if you can believe it, the Chicago White Sox were going to play a doubleheader with the Detroit Tigers. And they decided to do a promotion with a local DJ. And the promotion was basically the fans would get to bring their disco LPs and 45s. This is, I guess, before we had MP3 files. So you bring that to the stadium, and then between games, between the doubleheader, you got to burn them. Well, what could go wrong? Well, everything went wrong. Pretty soon you had the stadium. You had these kids who were throwing vinyls at each other during the game. And then when they were doing the fire between the doubleheader, the whole thing got out of control. The police eventually shut it down, sent everybody home, and the White Sox forfeit their game. You never again saw a promotion like this, and thank God you didn't, because this was a case of simply a promotion that was bizarre. It should have never been allowed, and it didn't mean anything to the White Sox because they were going nowhere that year, but it was a really black eye for the DJ or whatever who did this thing. So anyway, Disco Night. 40 years ago today, if you remember any of that. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you later.